Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
And we're looking at verse 18. It's on your screen for your convenience, but always ask you to bring your Bible. The Word of God says, "And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory." How many tonight would like God to show you his glory? "Show me thy glory." And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Verse 20. And he said, God said, "Thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock." And it came to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Verse 23 says, "And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." That is a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture. We're going to be talking tonight about this in our prophetic truths about the Hebrew alphabet. And we're going to be looking at this next letter, the 18th letter. Hope I'm right. Nope, the 19th letter, Kof, Q-O-F. And it's also spelled Q-O-O-F, but we're going to use Q-O-F. If you will, take your neighbor by the hand as a point of context and ask God's blessings upon this word. Father, we love you. We thank you for this word. Let it go forth in power and demonstration of your spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. And we give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So I just want to recap last time we met. We talked about this letter, Sade. And it's just an interesting letter. It was the 18th letter. And it literally meant fish hook, and I thought that was very interesting. And so we looked at the first prophetic truth about our last letter. Sade meant it meant to hunt or to catch or to capture. And one of the most important, I believe, callings of God on all of our lives is that we're to reach the lost. We may not be all called to preach, but everyone in this room is called to reach. The second prophetic truth about Sade is to delight in. And I love this scripture in Psalms 37 and 4. We talked about how we delight ourselves also in the Lord, and he shall give us the desires of our heart. And so if we really truly delight ourselves in God, and we want, you know, whatever we desire, our desires are going to be godly. And that's what's kind of the key in that scripture. The Hebrew word for delight is actually this word rasal, and it means to be pleased with, to satisfy, to set affection, to favor, or even to enjoy. And so we all wrapped it up a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about how when desire comes, we are hooked. And we were talking about how we're hooked on Jesus, okay? And so that is so important for us tonight. But I like to look back in Exodus 33 and verse 18, and I want us to really look at this scripture, because tonight in this letter, Kof, it's interesting. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And God begins to talk to Moses, and he says to him, well, I can do certain things. I'll make my goodness pass before you, and I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to him. I will be gracious, and I'll show mercy. In other words, he's just giving him that I'm giving you special favor. But verse 20 says, he says, but you cannot see my face. He said, there shall no man be able to see my face and live. I find that very captivating, because that tells us the flesh cannot exist in the glory of God. And so he's basically saying, you know, my glory is so powerful and so amazing. And if you even to look at me, you know, you got to think about this. When Moses was receiving the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, when he was coming down, he had spent those 40 days up on the mountain and receiving the commandments and statutes and precepts. The Bible says that Moses had to have a veil over his face because he had spent so much time with God that the brightness of God's glory was rubbed off on Moses. And so they put a veil over his face because he was too bright to, you know, talk around with the children of Israel in that camp, or the Hebrew children. And that begs the question then. You know, Jesus says we should let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and you know, give God the glory. And it makes me wonder, is the light of God in our life so bright that others are like, you know, like, hey, I've got to put sunglasses on because you've spent so much time with God. I think that's really an interesting point, that you and I can spend some time with God and shed that kind of light where others are going to have to, you know, say, you're so bright, I can tell there's a difference. I'll never forget, a lady came to me one time and she said, I just see something different about you. You know, I just told her, I said, I'm a born-again believer. I'm a child of God. That's nothing any different than that I'm saved and I'm living for God. And I think that's important that we have that kind of light in our lives. And he says, you can't see my face, and if you see it, you'll die. Verse 21 says, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. And what he's saying to Moses is, I'm going to prepare a place by me. You're going to stand upon a rock, and when I go by, when I pass by, my glory is going to pass by. You're going to be in a cliff of the rock. I'm going to cover you with my hand. Man, when I look at the description of God, you know, he has a face, he has back parts, he also has hands. And he's saying to Moses, I'm going to cover you with my hand while I pass by. Man, that's so amazing. I would have loved to be there that day, been there that day. And he says, but when I take my hand away, when I remove it, he says something that is so interesting. He says, you are going to have the ability to see part of me, and it's my back parts. And that's where we're at tonight. He says, your God's face, you're not going to be able to see it, God's face. You're not going to see my face. He's saying that to Moses, but you're able to see my back parts. This is what's interesting about this next letter, the 19th letter in the Hebrew alphabet. The prophetic truth about it is kof. Everybody say kof. Kof. You can say kuf or kof. It's pronounced either way. This would be the modern drawing or the modern text of this letter, kof. And if we were living in the pre-Canaanite time, this would have been during the Abraham time, Lot, during that time, you know. It would, if we looked at that letter, kof, it would look like that. Now, if we were in Moses' time and we saw the letter kof, it would look similar to this. I think that kind of, to me, looks a little bit like a sucker, a lollipop or something. And then the next one, if we were in King David's time, you know, David took down Goliath, this is what the letter kof would have looked like. So we have interesting number of years that are kind of showing the different writings, but the modern writing of this letter kof is this. This is what I find interesting about this 19th letter of kof. It absolutely means back of the head. So when Moses, and I love what Macy, this is supposed to be back of the head, and I don't know what Macy drew up here, but I guess those are dimples or something, and that's a neck roll. I don't know. But I had a little hairline on there. But the back of the head. So you think about Moses. Moses, he's only allowed to see the back parts of God. Well, this is kof. This is what he's seeing. He's seeing the back part of God. I'm not necessarily saying that's what God's head looks like, but you get the idea what he's seeing. He's seeing the back part of God's head. So this brings me to some prophetic truths that we're going to go through, and I love this. Number one, the first prophetic truth about kof is the cerebellum. Now, I had to go through the dictionary on my phone and make sure I pronounced it right. I'm not in the medical field, sorry, Haley, and I don't know anything about medicine. That's just, I know that I'm supposed to take it, you know, 4 to 6 hours, and that's just about it. But this is really interesting that this first prophetic truth is the cerebellum. And the cerebellum is this. The cerebellum is actually the part of the brain. It's the back part. Everybody take your hand and put it on the back of your head. That's you're touching what would be in your brain, that part, the cerebellum. This is the part of the brain that is responsible. Are you ready for this? If you're ready, say, I'm ready. It is responsible for coordinating movement, balance, and posture. That's the back of the head. So if you ever know somebody, when I played football, been hit in the back of the head before, I was hit in the back of the head with a baseball bat, Levi was hit in the back of the head with a baseball bat. You notice when you get hit in the back of the head, you just lose your balance. And I think this is really interesting here, because if anybody that's dealing with balance right now, me, dealing with balance. But I see something spiritual here that's going to help us. Look at Proverbs 11 and 1. It's going to be on your screen. It says a false balance. Everybody say a false balance. A false balance is what? Is abomination to the Lord. But a just weight is his delight. So the letter Kof is starting to begin to really make some sense to us about the back of the head, the back parts. All right? Let's go a little deeper. Look at Proverbs 20 and verse 23. It says, divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. So two places God is talking about false balance. All right? He's talking about it being abomination to God. An abomination is the worst thing you could ever be a part of in God's creation and in God's viewpoint. It's a horrible thing to be. So what is a false balance? What do you mean by false balance? What does this have to do? Well, this is what a false balance simply means. Are you ready for this? A false balance simply means that you are not walking honestly. You're not walking in truth. You're not walking honestly. I believe one of the strategies of the enemy is to knock all of us off balance. And that's what he tries to do. He tries to deceive us. He tries to keep us so far away from the truth of God's word. And he wants us to walk in falsehood. He wants us to walk in not the truth, the opposite of the truth. And so that's what he wants to do. And if he can get us off balance, then what is his main objective? Is to get us off course. That is the assignment and the strategy of the enemy in these last days, is to get God's people off course, off balance, and off course. And he's using every tactic he can. There's nothing more frustrating than being off balance. If you've ever been on a merry-go-round, if you've ever been at a ride at an amusement park, you know what I'm talking about. But this is my prayer. My prayer is that God will do something for Gospel Lighthouse Church. My prayer is that God will give us a sure foundation, something solid. So I believe that. The second prophetic truth about the letter Kof is behind. Everybody say behind. Now like this. Because if you look at the book of Philippians, chapter 3 and verse 13, it'll be on your screen. Apostle Paul's writing this, and he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. What is the one thing that he does? Look at what he says. Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so then, what is he saying? Well, there are things we need to remember, and there are things we need to forget. And so, I believe the challenge that God is challenging us with this letter, Kof, is there's some things that we've got to leave behind, things that we've got to forget. So what are some things that we need to remember? Anybody? Anybody want to think about what the Bible says? I mean, there's things we need to forget, but there's things that we need to remember. Let's talk about the things that we need to remember. In Isaiah 46, it's on your screen, Isaiah 46 and verse 9, it says, remember. Everybody say remember. Remember. Remember what? He says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Did you see the key phrase in that? The key phrase in that scripture is, my counsel shall stand. I don't want to be off balance. There's a lot of people, Sister Ashley, there's a lot of people today that are off balance. There were, it's a shame that people followed, but there were so many false prophets that said Jesus was coming last night and today, that the rapture of the church was going to happen yesterday. There's a lot of people that put this on YouTube, and what got me was the thousands of people that were selling their cars, selling a lot of things, saying, oh no, Jesus is coming, so they're getting rid. You know, they're going to be disappointed now. They don't have anywhere to go, right? They have no way to go, let me say it like that, because they've sold their cars. But Jesus is coming, but setting dates is not a very wise thing. So I'm realizing then that the things we need to remember are those things that stand. Not sinking sand, but things that are built upon the rock, right? The wise man built his life upon a rock. So we need to always remember the words that God has spoken. That's why when I pray many times before a message, I say, Holy Spirit, bring all things back to remembrance whatsoever you've spoken. Not what man has spoken, not what I've heard somebody say on the YouTube or someone say in passing or something I've read. No, I want to hear what God has to say. I think that's the most important thing for every pastor. So what are the things that we need to forget? Because this is what Paul says. I'm leaving behind, forgetting those things which are behind. Well, here's some things I believe that we need to forget. Are you ready for this? We need to strive to forget things related to our past sins and hurts. Forgetting those things. Listen, it's so easy because we're flesh. Well, I saw what happened, and I'm seeing what's happened with Charlie Kirk, with Turning Point USA. I've seen what's happening with the media and everything that's going on with it. And with, if you didn't see Erica Kirk, how many saw Erica Kirk's speech? You need to go and watch that. That's the most powerful thing you will ever see. I've never seen anything so more powerful than her speech that she gave last Sunday. Whatever you want to call it, her eulogy, whatever her memory, it was unreal. And I see what people are doing. They're trying to stir things up. And because we're human, we're going to remember some of the hurts people said about us, hurtful things that people said about us. Because we're human, we're going to remember some of the things, you know, that happened to us. Maybe we had suffered from physical abuse. Maybe we suffered from verbal abuse. Maybe we had been done wrong, mistreated by our boss, by people in our lives, and treated unfair. And, you know, it's human nature. We're going to remember those things. But here, the Apostle Paul says, I'm forgetting those things which are behind. When we forget those things are related to our sins and our past hurts, it brings a freedom and a new level of deliverance that we will never see. And the only way, I will say this, the only way possible to have that kind of power, that kind of freedom, is through the grace and mercy of God. What I've learned, Amanda, this is what I've learned. When people have done me wrong, mistreated me, you know what I usually do? I pray for them. No, Lord, I don't pray, God kill them. But I do pray for them. I pray for them. I sincerely pray for those who've hurt me. And it brings me a freedom. Then I try to put myself in their shoes. I try to understand. You know, I just re-listened to the message I preached a while back. And I was talking about the difference between, you know, there's two dynamics, forgiveness and reconciliation. Two dynamics. Thank God for the rain, right? Two dynamics. And we got to forgive. That's just it. But reconciliation, there's never a promise of reconciliation, because reconciliation means there's got to be two people involved in it. And I can forgive that person and try to reconcile with them, but if they're not willing, you know, my hands are tied. I can't force them to be at peace with me. And so that's something that we have to consider. But forget about it. Look at your neighbor and tell them, hey, neighbor, forget about it. Forget about it. So how do I apply this to my life? So we've been talking about how to make pure and true application of these messages and realize that the only way that we can truly make sense of what we're learning is understand it through the pictograph. And that's why every lesson we have two more. We have Sheen and we have Tav, the last two letters. Well, actually, we have next a couple in the eighth, I think. We actually have another letter to do. But we have like three letters left, and I've always drawn something up here, or Macy or Caleb, someone has helped me draw a picture up here, and I wanted to use it as a pictograph because in the ancient Bible times, that's how they communicated with one another. They used these pictures. Now, it's important to know that the word pictures, these Hebrew word pictures, they do not replace, define, or limit Scripture. So why I do this is to simply illustrate Scripture. It's a symbol for this letter. It's a symbol for this letter or for this word, whatever we're using. That's what that is. It's the back of the head. So everybody, one more time, put your hand back on the back of your head and say kuf. This is what's interesting. And I didn't write it up here, but kuf or kuf has the letter value of 100. And I think this is interesting. When you look at Exodus 33 and verse 23, put that back up there, Exodus 33 and 23, it's the next slide. He says, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. How many tonight would like to see the glory of God? All right? Now, I want you to think about this. I love this. Remember, I wish I had that marker so I could write 100. It's okay. It's okay. It's all right. It's good. I love this thought. Think in terms of 100. This numerical value, the gematria number, don't have to do it, babe. It's fine. It's 100. Just get that in your mind. There's something amazing with this. Now, I did some research, and I wanted to think about, I want to see God's glory. Don't you want to see God's glory? I mean, truly see God's glory. Well, I did some research, and I used the Dake's Bible because I thought this was really plain and simple. And I think I have it on the screen, Pastor Crystal. I'm not for sure if I do. But Dake's Bible writes, there are seven things that had to be done before Moses could see God's glory. Good thing. I'm glad I got it up there. You may want to take a picture of this. Probably not going to be able to see it from where you're at. I don't know. Maybe you will. But there are seven things that had to be done. Seven things that had to be done before Moses could see God's glory. Here they are. His goodness to pass by. I want God's goodness to pass by, don't you? The name of Jehovah had to be announced. Remember? He said, I'm going to declare my name. The name of Jehovah had to be announced. Moses had to stand upon a rock. So he had to be in the right place. His feet had to be in the right position. Glory to pass by. Number four. His glory had to be passing by. It had to be in motion. Number five. Moses, he had to not only be standing on a rock, but he had to be put in the cleft of the rock. Number six, he had to be covered by God's hand. These are things that had to happen before Moses could witness and see the glory of God. The final thing is God's hand had to be removed. His hand must have been removed. And so these are important elements. I find this so amazing because it's a process that God has taken everybody through. If we truly want to see the glory of God, it's a process that's taken through. Now remember, back to 100. Everybody say 100. Kof has a letter value of 100. I believe this is what God is saying to you right now. Are you ready? God is challenging us to strive for 100-fold of the genuine, authentic presence of God. 100-fold. You say God works in steps and levels and degrees? Absolutely. He absolutely does. God gives us a little bit, a little bit. We're going from glory to glory, as the scripture says. But also we know that His word, the Hebraic prophetic words of the Bible, is alphabet, aleph bet, if you will. They are seeds. And every seed produces what? It produces fruit. Now look with me in Mark chapter 4, and we're about to close. Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, the sower sows the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately. He takes away the word that was sown in their hearts, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, they receive it, they bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and look what the next level is, some 100-fold. How many want to bring forth 100-fold? 100-fold. What's going to cost us, right? So what if we all determine to do this tonight? Let's all stand together. What if we all determine to leave the world behind? I'm just going to leave this world behind. All of its lust. I'm going to leave all of these cares of the world, all this behind. I'm going to leave it behind. I'm going to press forward. I'm going to forget the hurtful things that happen, their wounds. Yes, the devil wants to remind us of all of our past. We just got to remind him of his future. I want to press forward to the 100-fold presence. Talk about the 100-fold presence of God. People want to take this, Brother Jeremy, people want to take this scripture and they want to materialize this scripture. And they want to make it all about money, all about materialism, all about all. I don't want to do that with this word. I want to make it about God. I want His word to be about His presence in my life. I want His, oh my, I want His word. I want this sowing and reaping be about the anointing of God on my life. I don't want it to be about all the things of the world. I want it to be all about God, don't you? Yeah. I think this is beautiful. So how would this affect you, your family, your job, the church, and the community if we decided I want to press toward the 100-fold presence of God? Let's bow our heads and our hearts tonight. Father, thank you so much for this word and this teaching. I want to press, just as Paul said, I'm going to press forward, press toward this mark. I'm going to strive for it. I know sometimes it's a struggle for many, but Lord, we're hungry, we're thirsty for your presence, Lord. We realize that life is short. We realize that all who live godly shall suffer persecution. We realize that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God, you deliver us out of them all. We realize that how vulnerable every believer is in these last days to criticism, to attacks. We're vulnerable to temptation. We're vulnerable to apathy, to complacency, to just giving up and quitting. But because of your goodness and your power and your presence, Father, you've given us strength to endure. As you said in your word, endure hardness as a good soldier in Christ Jesus. And so tonight, we're hungry for you. We're hungry for your presence. Bless us and honor us, God. Forgive us where we fail. Help us, God, to move forward. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen, amen.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.